Well, if you have a copy of God's Holy Word, would you take it and turn to Hebrews chapter 5? Hebrews 5, we're going to be looking today. We're halfway. Okay, that's not even true. We're getting close. That's not even true. We're moving on in Hebrews. Hebrews 5, and I told the Catalyst group this morning, we're hitting a steep hill. So as we move each Sunday, you know, we don't try to get through a book of the Bible so we can rush through. We get through the book of the Bible so that we can mature in our faith and then use what we've heard and then therefore go change the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we do have to make disciples. If you're gifted in evangelism and you love sharing your faith, you have a responsibility, that new convert to the faith, you have a responsibility to see that new convert receives the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, it's not you changing someone's heart. It's the Holy Spirit doing it. Y'all do know that you can't save anybody. Don't you know that? And you are responsible seeing to that person has the opportunity to receive baptism in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And you also are responsible for teaching that person. You don't just have to go make disciples and let someone else clean it up. You have to actually be a part of the whole process. And if you lead someone to Christ, I feel like you're responsible to see them all the way through so that they actually reproduce and become a disciple maker themselves. Did we get the picture? Did Chris and we were able to get the picture? Hey, if y'all would throw the picture up here, we got to celebrate it yesterday. So there you are, the Dennis and Celia. We're able to baptize in the swimming pool after the storm. I told him I've never had that kind of encounter. Heavy storm, lightning. We're cutting grass up here. The landscaping team they braved the storm yesterday, and we didn't get everything finished. So if you see that we didn't get finished, we encourage you to join the teams. If we had more hands, we would have finished the job because the sun was shining. So that is an open invitation to be a part of something, even if you say, that's not my gift. Well, the lawnmower don't know that, just so you know that. Just push it. But yesterday after the storm and in the rain, if there's some other photos, even had a call, and it might show up in the paper today. The newspaper reporter said, hey, y'all got anything cool going on? Because I got rained out of all my events. And I said, well, I think it's pretty cool. We're about to go have a baptism. He said, would you call and ask if I could come? So your baptism might show up in the paper today. I have no idea. But the newspaper reporter was there, and it was a blessing. So God bless you guys, and thank you for letting us be a part of that. Welcome to the family as well, by the way. So that was pretty awesome yesterday. So let's take our Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to go right into, and we're going to dig right into the scripture, pick it up from last week. If you didn't have last week's message, go back and listen. Not because something great I said, because God's word says some great things for you about his word and about his power and his strength and how he sees you exposed at all times. So if you were God just for a moment, and I know you can't play God, but I want you to just to take for a moment, and if you were God and you look down on humanity, what would you see today? If you had a global look, what would you see if you could see through the clouds? What would you see going on? Let's just go ahead and put out the whole world map. Have y'all ever done that? The flat map, not the globe, but put out the map flat and you strategize and you're looking. What would you see over in, let me pick a spot. Let me move over here. Let me go to Europe. What would you see happening in Europe and Asia-ish? What would you see? Depravity. What else? Chaos, war. You would take a look and you would see sinful man killing one another. And if you just was to glance over and look into North America, what would you see? Same thing, different ways. Child abduction, all the different issues that are going on. We'd see the world. And then if you move, just go to a safer place. Let's go to Central America. Anybody? South America? Brazil? Let's move on. Let's go to, you know what, let's just pick a spot where it's safe. Australia. Nobody's around them. It doesn't matter where you look on the globe, you're going to find that sinful men are doing sinful things. Now, what measure, you and I, we kind of measure sin. We give, oh, that's just a little white lie. We will say that. Old folks used to say that when I was, that's just a little white lie. And I don't know what colors the other lies are, but a white lie is a lie. Even if you tell a half-truth with the intent to deceive, that's a whole lie. Just bits and pieces of the truth with the intent to deceive. That's a lie. And God judges lies. If you have actually you've come up to the place and say, well, listen, well, the reason I said that, a reason and an excuse are two different things. If you're late to work because there was a car accident and you couldn't get by, that was your reason. If you're late to work because your clock, you slept all the way up to the time it was time to be at work and that accident slowed you down and you were late, that's not your reason. That's your excuse. You said, well, there was a car accident on Whiskey Road. Oh, yeah? What time did you get up? Oh, 5 minutes ago. But you understand the difference? A truth, a half-truth, with even a three-quarter truth with the intent to deceive is a whole lie. What does that make you? Say it again. Everybody like, I can't treat the words, right? We had sanctimonious in the sanctuary, right? What does that make you? How many of you guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. The kids are in here today. How many of you have ever told a lie? Look around. Church full of liars. Here's what I want you to understand. Aren't you glad that that same God that looks down from heaven, people in the Old Testament, he gave them a high priest. And the high priest was chosen by God. We'll see that in scripture today. To go before the people, before God, to present, hey, God, I'm here to do what you said to do, to offer a sacrifice, to cover the sins for the people, to atone for their sins. But aren't you even greater, as we look in the scripture, aren't you even greater excited about the idea of a great high priest who is not from the lineage of Aaron, who does not have sinful tendencies like you and me? He's never sinned. He's of the order, the Bible says, of Melchizedek. We'll see a whole lot about Melchizedek. You're going to get sick of Melchizedek, at least his name, or Melchizedek, whatever how you want to say his name. You're going to see that he pops in the scriptures. The writer of Hebrews speaks a lot about him. But I want you to understand, when we go back and look at these happenings in scripture, you could be confused and say, well, that's really hard to understand. Don't do that, because the writer of Hebrews condemns his audience about their hardness of heart, hardness of head, because they wanted to stay in the elementary things. Just tell me that Jesus loves me, this I know. Let's sing that every Sunday, and let's preach that every Sunday so I don't have to go any further, because if I read the Bible for myself, I realize I've got to go do something, right? I've got to go make disciples. I've got to go see to they're baptized. You mean I can't live in my zip code and do nothing? I'm busy. I have a full-time job. I'm retired. I play golf. I do all these things. We have excuses why we don't do what God commands us to do. So today, as we look at this high priest, we're going to take a snapshot. We're looking back in the Old Testament, yes, and we understand if he was from the lineage of Aaron, he's a sinner. He understood what sin was, and he even had compassion. He's like, man, who am I? I'm just like my brother, right? I got to confess my sins before I can even dare go before the Lord for everybody else's sins. So we understand him, and the Bible talks about who the high priest was, and the high priest never put his resume in to be the high priest. He was always chosen by God. So then when somebody said, I can't wait to be the high priest one day, you had to be of the lineage. Aaron had to be your grandpa somewhere down the line, whether it be a great, 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 great. Aaron had to be your grandpa. But now we're seeing this new order of high priest coming in, that has no father, that has no mother, that has no beginning, no end, king and priest at the same time. This is a weird order. It sounds like they're talking about Jesus. Did you know the whole Bible's talking about Jesus? Everything in the Old Testament was a shadow of things to come. Even we talked about this morning about the priestly garment. It's a picture of Christ. If you see each element of the high priest is dressed from his turban in the top all the way to his feet, his garment, his undergarments, what he wore on the outside, everything was a picture of Christ. Looking forward to the day that Jesus Christ would come to be the ultimate high priest, but also to be the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God. No longer do we have our sins covered with an animal's blood, those hundreds of thousands and millions of animals that died throughout the process. You say, why would God require that? Can I tell you something? He's God and you're not. It's a picture. And we talk about it today. And when we talk about the picture, it comes up the most that we talked about when we preached to this about having a pet sheep named Fluffy. And the day comes to make the sacrifice. And little kid's like, no, mom, dad, not Fluffy. And then the priest goes, and Fluffy's dead. We cringe more about an animal dying than we do about the Son of God dying for our sins. Most people can't stand the thought of a kitten dying, but thinking of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ dying, it's, oh, we've heard that before. We are sympathetic, obviously, to the point of, I understand that's true, but we make a bigger deal about an animal than we would about the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that true in your area where you're from, even your children, yourself? You can become inoculated so much that you get hard-hearted towards the things of Christ. So as we read this word, open your heart, open your mind, ask the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, we'll take time to pray, just like we do before the Lord's Supper. Ask the Holy Spirit to see the difference. We're going to take a couple Polaroids to the Old Testament, and then we're going to come and take videos in the New Testament, okay? I want God to open our eyes that we can see, where do you stand? And as we pray, let me ask you, tell you, I know the children are here today. In the Old Testament, how would you have stood if you were there? Guilty or not guilty? Guilty. In the New Testament, without Christ, how do you stand? Guilty or not guilty? Guilty in the same way. Well, then how did they come to faith? Through faith. Where did they get the faith, the ability to have to believe? From God. Today, how do we come to faith? By faith, through His grace, the same way. Abraham came by faith, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Today, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He accounts that to your account. He accredits you as righteous because you've received the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together and ask the Lord, hey, Lord, help me truly understand this, because this is some complicated stuff. Not just me saying that, but the writer of Hebrews says that as we begin this. Let's pray. Father God, as we bow our heads and our hearts before You this morning, even prior to reading this word, we ask that You would work in our hearts so that we might fully understand. In Jesus' name we pray, for His sake, amen. I want to go to your notes first. If you have a bulletin this morning in the notes, and I put this in here, I spoke on your behalf. And as we share this, if we are honest as Americans, we don't fully grasp the biblical job description of the high priest given to Moses in the Old Testament. Would that be a true statement or not? We don't fully grasp the idea. We know bits and pieces about it, but if we had to stand up and give a book report on it today, we would struggle, would we not? We might know his garment, his details, his responsibilities, but not everything. The high priest was the supreme religious leader of Israel. His office was hereditary. He got it. Traced from Aaron, the brother of Moses of the tribe of Levi. No other tribe had permission to have a priest. Only the tribe of Levi did they have a priest. And I gave you some scriptures there. There's other scriptures. If you go back and look at the first five books of the Bible, you'll see God had a plan and a purpose. God set up with the tribe of Levi that actually they would be the ones set aside the priest. That's why the offerings and the things for the temple, that's why the tabernacle, the place of meeting, that's why people brought offerings so that they could actually, these men never did anything but serve before the Lord, before the throne, the mercy seat of God, not the throne of God, but in reality, it was before the throne of God because they were serving God as they served before men and as they served before God. So I want you to see that. I do know we live in America. I do know we don't have a religious system where we have a high priest. We do have priests in some systems. We see that. And if there's a religion that has priests, I don't care what religion it is, who's typically in charge of everything? Even if it's a false religion, who's in charge? It's the priest. There's religions, obviously, I don't banter my neighbors, but there's religions where the man will hold his ring out and you have to bow and kiss his ring. Yes? Do you understand that? There's religions where the priest or priestess, you have to do worship to them, before them. There's religions who actually say, well, I wouldn't say he's God, but he's God's man. He's our prophet. He's the man that we listen to. Whatever he says goes. Listen, the church is the body and bride of Christ, right? Soon to be bride. We're the body of Christ. Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. Certainly not the pastor. Certainly not the deacons. Certainly not the Bible study teachers. The head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you put anything out of order, and you put something out of order from what Scripture says, guess what happens? It's out of order. That was pretty detailed. Let me give it to you. If you put anything out of order in Scripture, what does that make it? Out of order. And when something's out of order, what do? Either get it fixed or fix it. If you have to use the bathroom and you're running as fast as you can, and there's a sign that says, temporarily out of order, what do? You ever been through traveling and pull over to a rest area? It says restrooms ahead. Pull over your cars, park here, trucks park here. And you really got to get to the restroom because you've been trying to not stop because everybody's asleep in the car. And it says temporarily closed for cleaning. Out of order. What do we do? Start spiraling. If the water fountain's out, if there's something out, if the drive-thru's out, whatever it might be, if it inconveniences us, we're like, oh, no, it's out of order. But yet when it comes to the things of God, we're okay to get things out of order. God's grace. We just start singing grace, grace, God's grace. It doesn't matter what God said in his word. It doesn't matter what the high priest did for you and me and what he says for us to do today. If it's out of order, listen, it's out of order. Do it God's way. What do you get? God's results. If you do it your way and get it out of order, you're going to suffer the consequences of doing it your way. You don't have to like that. You don't have to even agree with me on that. But I think Scripture agrees with that, and I think God agrees with that. When he writes it, when he says it, that's how he wants it done. Let's continue now in the Word. Let's go. Hebrews chapter 5, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for what? Sins. And if you write in your Bible, you might want to just say where it says, for every high priest taken from men, among men, it just can't be any man. It can't be any tribe. Who does it have to be from? Back in the day, this is Old Testament. This is our Polaroid shot. From among men is saying from whom? From the lineage of Aaron. The high priest must be from Aaron's lineage. So not just any man, not just any tribe, had to be from Aaron. Here's what's amazing in verse 2. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. That means sin. He understands people get caught up in sin. They have evil thoughts, evil actions, evil deeds. He understands that's the nature of people. That's what the high priest did, and that's why the sacrifice, the blood of animals, covered sins. Verse 3, because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself to offer sacrifice for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as who was? Aaron. So anytime you hear the word high priest, Old Testament, who should you automatically think about? Aaron, the brother of Moses. Moses led the people out of Egypt, but you think right there to his side was Aaron, and Aaron actually was the spokesperson for Moses. Moses complained he couldn't speak. He was slow of speech, and God says, listen, I had this plan for you, but if you want to be so hard-headed, I'm going to let your brother Aaron come along, but you're going to share the glory. You're going to share in the responsibilities. I'm going to give you the word. Aaron's going to speak the word. And if you'll see in the Old Testament, we give Moses his stick, the rod of God is what it's called. Aaron sometimes has it. As a matter of fact, whose budded rod is in the ark? Aaron's. Ten commandments there that Moses had, but you'll see Aaron shared in some of, if you will, the glory that God was going to give to Moses because, well, Moses had an excuse. But Lord, I don't speak well. Lord, I don't. And he went down and he had an excuse. He told a truth, but he wanted to get out of the work because he was afraid. Well, let's go to verse 5. A priest forever. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And he also says in another place, you are a priest. How long, church? Forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by things which he, we don't like this word, do we? Suffered. If Christ suffered, will Christ's followers suffer? Not in the same way, because he took on all of our sins, but we will suffer. It has been given to us to suffer for the Lord. Does that make any sense to anyone? I hear it. I know what the English says, but in my head, I'm like, why? You're God. Just make it smooth as butter, right? Butter is going to come up every week, I think, for this. Verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of what? This is beautiful. Eternal salvation to whom? All who obey him. It's key. All people who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 11, this is important. This is kind of a punch towards our gut. If you go, I just don't understand this. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. He didn't say it was hard to explain. He said it's hard to explain to you because you become dull of hearing. Have we today in the 21st century, even though we're saved by grace through faith, have we become dull of hearing? We sit alongside, and actually we're just like the people of Old Testament times of any time. Pick a period, and we become dull of hearing. You say, I know that. I know that song. I know that passage of Scripture. And what we do is we live like we know the whole Bible, and like we live by the whole Bible. And if we were to have a scorecard, how would we score us before the Lord? Look at it and say, listen, it's no good, right? God, what does God want for us? And we said earlier in Catalyst, and we'll say it again, if we give a score 1 to 5 out of our Bible study and 1 to 5 out of our prayer time, what does God want for you and me? He wants you to work towards 5. He wants you to max out and be all that he's called you to be, long before the army did, right? He wants you to become like his son, Jesus Christ. And how better to become like Christ than to learn from Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then you come to John 1 and say, wait a minute. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word there, Logos, is Jesus. So, and when I study the Bible, I'm like, wait a minute. There's no room for that pseudo crazy mess called evolution. It's just plain, children, you can hear this today, take it to your teachers in public school. Evolution is plain stupidity. It is a religion of unbelieving atheists. There is no room. There's no room for a caveman. There's no room. Listen, Adam walked among the garden with dinosaurs. When were dinosaurs created? Land animals were created on what day? Day 6. When was Adam and Eve created? Day 6. And water, dinosaurs, or whatever else they call it. And listen, the word dinosaur wasn't around. That's a newer word in the 1800s. Terrible lizard, we know that. There's no time for a caveman dragging knuckles. We learned, obviously, they came out of the pond, and some of that scum become leaves, and some become trees, and some become you, and some became me, right? That's how we learned. And there was the missing link, and they lied throughout the 70s and 80s. They found the missing link. Have you ever done any research? They'd find a bone way over there and a bone way over there and a tooth over here, and they'd put it together and say, this is the missing link. Everything's been debunked that's been put out there. There is no evolution as it's told by the atheists. Our children are learning they come from pond scum. The Bible says we come from perfect man, perfect woman, created in the image of God. How beautiful is that picture, and how thwarted and ugly is. Y'all been down to the pond. If you don't know what pond scum is, take a walk down to our drainage pond. Just go meddle around the side and do your hand in that green stuff and say, this looks beautiful. Taste it, matter of fact. Taste it. See if it tastes like candy. I don't know. But when we look at the pond here in real life, we go, ugh, I don't even touch that. But yet we allowed our kids to be taught this foolishness that's in public school, that we evolved from some kind of crazy scum like that. And the Bible's screaming, Jesus is the creator of all things in John 1. And Jesus meticulously took you and created your nostrils and your face. And he created Adam's. He created everything about Adam from the dirt. We've said that's why boys like to play in the dirt today. Isn't that true? You can't keep boys out of mud. Some boys. All right. And then the girls, a rib was taken. Think of the beautiful picture of crafting a helpmate. And how many times do you walk with your spouse and arm in arm and it's rib to rib? You walk around just like in the beginning how God designed it. God has a beautiful design. Well, Jesus, as he's creator, he's also, now we are in the New Testament, he's our great high priest. Jesus is better than a grandma or grandpa. He does everything for us. He made us. He loved us. He gave us everything through Adam and Eve. And then Adam and Eve sinned against God. And then this brokenness happened. And God made a way for us to be restored. Animal after animal had to die because of sin. Because you were born into sin, says the Scriptures. But in the times that we live in here in the 21st century, y'all, the Lord Jesus Christ has done this beautiful thing for you and me. He's graced us with himself. This has happened. It is past tense that it happened, but it's present tense that you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ and live forever with him. He says in the Scripture, he died. So what reason that we could have everlasting life? Well, go to your notes if you would. The writer of Hebrews gives us a powerful insight into the contrast between the high priest of Israel, who stood before God for the people, and the great high priest, Jesus Christ. So let's look at the first contrast. I put them as bullets in yours, but I'm going to give you four like this. Although chosen from imperfect man, and he was imperfect, every high priest was a sinner. The high priest was set apart as holy unto the Lord. His office was a gift of grace, not a personal achievement. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. He was given that office, and he, that high priest, served at the altar of God. He was responsible to stand between God and man. He would actually go before God and say, God, the people have confessed their sins. Now I'm bringing this before you, Lord, and knowing that you're gracious, knowing that you're good. And Lord, I might have a little bit of trepidation here because I know that I'm a sinner. And not only is this for the people, Lord, this is for me. I'm imperfect. I'm a sinner. But Lord, your grace is so good. You've made a way where it seemed like there was no way. God made a way for you to be, if you will, atoned for, your sins atoned for. That's called the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, right? We talked about it in October 1st and 2nd of this year. And we talked about earlier in Candlemas, did Jesus celebrate Yom Kippur? I'm sure he went with his family to the temple and they celebrated, but Jesus never had to be forgiven. He didn't need his... Who set up the system? If Jesus has done everything, who set up the system of the Day of Atonement? He did. He's done everything for every human for all of eternity, from Adam and Eve to you and to me. God has made a way of escape, escape from your sins, escape from yourself, your self-centeredness. He gives you an opportunity to live a life holy and righteous, a life where you can actually make God the center of your life, and he gladly takes that place, and he says, now I'm going to lead you in righteousness. You pray to me. Pray with me. I'm going to lead you. You read my word. I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. Your name might not be found in the Bible, but listen, your life is found in the Bible. Everything you need to know about what you should do, how you should do. Lord, I don't understand. I'm telling you, when you don't know the way, he has made a way. He's God. He knows you personally. If you go back and look at the verse in 14, he says he sees you as naked. He sees you clearly when no one else can see you. When you're crying by yourself, when you're taking the long drive, whenever you do whatever you want to do to get along by yourself, just me time, God sees you in me time. God sees you by yourself. God sees you in the group. God sees when you're lonely. God sees when you're hurting. God sees when you're happy. God sees when you're mad. God sees you in every season of life. There is not one millisecond that happens in your life that God does not see you. Even lost people, when I told you, when God, he does see the whole earth at one time. God sees you. You're not just some number. The Bible says he knows how many hairs are on your head. Does anybody know the number of hairs on your head? What's the average? Somebody Google that while we're in church and see how many hairs. Just shout the number out. Somebody, I'll keep going, but shout the number out. You won't surprise me. I was a children's minister once upon a time. Somebody Google it. See how many hairs are on the average human head. I'm sure somebody's done the calculation. Let me continue. The first bullet there, you see, got how many? 100,000 to 150,000, and some of us fewer. All right. All right. I want you to see this. Here's the high priest. Let's take a look at the man high priest, okay? He was called by God. Would you agree? God had to appoint him, but who did he have to belong to? What lineage? Aaron. Okay, has everybody got that? From now on, the rest of your life, if you hear the word high priest, not the great high priest, you think of who? Aaron. You got to go back to Aaron, and you go back to the, you can actually go back and look and say, okay, that was Moses' brother, so same time frame. So you can roll back to Exodus, you can roll back to Numbers, you can go back and actually see when was Aaron appointed high priest and what was his responsibilities. And it's a beautiful thing if you go back and look, God appointed craftsmen and artisans. He created all these different people to support the office of Aaron, and then he created the whole sacrificial and worship service. God dictated what the service was to be like as to him, as to holiness. God had a plan. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't tell him halfway, three-quarter way. God told him from start to finish how to do it. God made a plan. God made a dress code for the high priest. God made a dress code. When you saw that turban and when you saw those men in those robes, you knew exactly who they were. And they represented God before the people. So there was this high level of respect that you would get out of the way because, man, what if you did something to a Levite? What if you did something to a priest? You're messing with God's set apart people. I think we don't think about the holiness of God even today. We mess around with the world, mess around with Christians. God holds us accountable today what we do with the truth that we have. So God called, he was called by God just as Aaron was. No man could choose himself for the role. You can't say in 10 years, I can't wait, I'm going to be the high priest. You didn't get that privilege. It was God who made the choice. Number two, I want you to see this. It's in a bullet in yours. Gentle with the people because he shared in human weaknesses. He was able to deal gently with the spiritually ignorant and the misguided. That's you and me. You're ignorant. You ever anybody tell you that? It doesn't mean you're stupid. It means you don't know. Does anybody know what's happening right now in Kenya on the other side of the world? What time is it? 8 or 9 hours ahead, and we didn't know even how many hairs were on our own head. You have a head with hair. And if McKinsey hadn't have told us, do we trust McKinsey? What's her source? Google. So do we trust Google? Go try and see. Next week, bring an answer if you have more than 150,000 heads hair on your head. You're ignorant of even the number of hair that you washed, if you have any to wash. You're ignorant of what makes up toothpaste, if you're not careful. Right? You're ignorant of just everything that we use in life. A lot of times we're ignorant. We don't know. We just do it. And we participate. We're ignorant of even what we inhale and exhale. Or we're really ignorant of where life, how it actually functions. I want you to see this. Listen, this man understood as when he was chosen as high priest, he understood how people were. As a matter of fact, the high priest in Jesus' day not only understood how sinners function, but they become the high sinner priest. They crucified Jesus Christ. Caiaphas, think about, where is he today? And you would think, most high priests chosen by God, where would you think most high priests are today? Where would you think, just in your holy imagination, where do you think the high priest of all the years, where would you think most of them would be? And God's present in heaven, right? Wherever God is, they would be there. What about Caiaphas, chosen as high priest? Where do you think he is? He willfully sinned. He cursed God, if you will. He ripped, the raiment was ripped. He did everything that the high priest should not do. Was he holy as unto the Lord? Listen, I can't tell you where he went, but I got my own opinions, and I don't think it was up, right? I really do. Today, you and I hear the word of God. You've heard it more than one time. You know the truth of God. You know that you're a sinner. No one has to convince you that you're a sinner because you sin. We just showed we have a church full of liars earlier, right? We know that we sin. But what we get hung up on is, listen, God has presented us with this great high priest, Jesus Christ, saying, listen, the if you think the man, sinner, knew how you sin, and he had compassion for you, how about the one that created you, that we broke covenant with, relationship with, and he died to set you free that you might be back in right relationship with him? How much greater of the one who made you understands how you're created and how you are? He knows when you're weak. Does the Bible tell us that Jesus was tempted like we've been tempted? Yeah, just go back and read Hebrews. In every which way he was tempted, but he never sinned. Why? Don't ever ask the question, could Jesus have sinned when he was here on earth? Jesus was God. He could not sin. Don't even play those silly games. Well, then he was so much better. He was different than us. He couldn't have been tempted like us. The Bible says very clearly he was tempted. You just want Jesus to get down in the dredges with you. When you walk through those dirty places, you want to take Jesus with you. It's hard for us to see holiness when you're hanging out with unholiness. It's hard for us to live around beliefs when we're hanging out with unbelievers. Is it true? God has a plan and a purpose for our life. I don't want you to see that. Well, let me move a little bit quicker here. I want you to see this. Number three, sacrifices were required. His weakness also meant he had to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. Number four, Day of Atonement. His most important duty was to enter the most holy place once a year on the Day of Atonement to offer blood sacrifices for himself and for Israel. Only he could enter behind the veil and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, God's throne of grace. You can read that in Leviticus there for you. Jesus, though eternally God, became fully man, yet fully God, don't forget that, so that he could suffer death and serve as our true high priest. Unlike every priest, Jesus was not of Aaron's order and was what? Sinless. That's important to know. Therefore, needed no sacrifice for himself. Because he obeyed the Father completely and bore the penalty of sin in our place, he is greater than any priest before or after him. This is why Scripture calls him our great high priest. That was last week, our great high priest. Not just our high priest, our great high priest. The Word of God has set him apart that he is, if the high priest was good, God and Jesus is greater, Jesus is better. Amen? He's supreme over everything. We've learned so far in the study, he's supreme. Jesus is better than angels. Jesus is better than Moses. And today we find out that Jesus is better than Aaron and any of the high priests because he's the great high priest. Listen, church, no matter what we throw at Jesus, Jesus is better. Amen? That's amen. That's a word there. Well, last four, I want you to see this. Perfect in every way. Jesus was, is, and always will be honored as holy, spotless, and eternal. Always. There's no exception. Jesus, number two, is the author of hope and salvation. Through his sacrifice, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's key. Some people want to talk about the global fatherhood of God, that God's our father. He's all people's fathers. The truth is, he's everyone's creator, but he's not your father until you have submitted to his son. Till you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, God is not your father. You do not serve the God of the Bible until you submit and surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are required to surrender to Jesus. That's truth in the Word of God. Now, almost next here, appointed by the Father, God the Father called him high priest. Not after Aaron, but according to the order of Melchizedek, a priesthood both royal and eternal. And finally, hallowed. Remember what the Lord said when you pray to the Father? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy, set apart is your name. So Jesus is the hallowed eternal mediator. Jesus is the everlasting mediator between God and man, the final authority as priest and king. And listen, church, he will one day return to reign in Jerusalem, the very city from which Melchizedek once ruled. Listen, that's the truth from the Word of God. It's Melchizedek. We're going to look at him. We're going to take a picture of him. He was high priest. He was priest and king. And I want to tell you, I'm going to spill the beans. We're going to read about him for the next five chapters. We want to get to chapter 10. And go look at it. It talks about how the priest would stand regularly before the Lord. But this great high priest, Jesus Christ, stands before the Father. Y'all, he intercedes on our behalf. I know it's complicated, yet it's a beautiful picture if you can just see. God is all-powerful. We've preached through that. God is holy. We've preached through that. God is righteous. We've preached that. God says you can be holy as he is holy. God gives you his righteousness. He imparts that. He imputes. Listen, he gives to. He's holy, takes an unholy vessel like yourself, and he gives you his righteousness. If you will obey him and believe him. Sacrifice your life to him, and then when you surrender, he'll save young boys and girls. He'll save teenagers. He'll save adults, senior adults, anyone who will surrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I am a sinner. Lord, you are the Savior. You died on the cross. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I submit myself to that salvation, and I believe God has raised you from the dead. Lord, would you save my, we don't usually say my rotten tomato soul, right? Because tomatoes are just about finishing out. Y'all ever got any sitting on your counter that are rotten when you pick it up? That's who you are. Before Christ, you're rotten and undone before God. But God makes you brand new. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, he says, he hits the refresh button. All things have become new. That's the God we serve, y'all. That's that great high priest that we have before us. He's gone before us, and now he waits for us to receive the free gift. He's the gift giver of what life? What kind of life does he give? He says eternal life. Even Jesus himself said, you can probably say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That's what Jesus himself said in John 3:16. Let's pray together. Father God, as we have opportunity to sing and, Lord, to make decisions, we all will make a decision. Some will dedicate their lives to follow you with all of their hearts, and some will say, I need to think about it some more and walk away. Some will just flat out reject and say, listen, I didn't like that today, and I'm walking away. All of us find ourselves somewhere in your presence, some hearing, some believing, but some half-heartedly living for you, Lord. We're at every place from lostness to mediocre worship to, Lord, celebrating that we're in your presence, knowing that you're our God, our Father, and we've been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, our great high priest. So no matter where we individually, boy or girl, find ourselves, man or woman, Lord, I pray we would do business with you. You've called us to surrender our lives fully. That's everything, our careers, everything that we have to you. May we do that this morning. It's a hard call, but Lord, you didn't call us to walk easy in this life. May we give everything to you in Jesus' name we pray for his sake. Amen.